Hello, everybody. This is Eva Herr, and welcome to the Healing of Agape today. Today, we have a wonderful woman who's not only very knowledgeable about healing and alternative medicines, but she's got a brilliant mind and a wonderful persona herself. Hello, Elizabeth. How are
you? Hello, Eva. Thank you so much for your kind intro.
Oh, you're welcome, but it so suits you. You know that. So tell us a little about who Elizabeth is.
Well, I have so many interests, and people know me in one arena or another, and they're often surprised when they hear about some other aspect of my life. But, of course, we all have to start out making a living, and I've been fortunate enough to do that within the realm of nonprofits and arts and music primarily in my first 20 years of work life, working with orchestras, opera, music festivals. And, of course, the business side is not so glamorous as the onstage, but you still always have that reward at the end of the day of a great concert or a really healing, nurturing experience. And I moved from there to actually broadening my primary work life with some consulting with a number of other kinds of nonprofits. So I've learned a lot about environmental sustainability, other areas of healthcare, some publishing, even some metaphysical art. And along the way, I've had this very intrinsic, not even a desire, but a one of these have to do it kind of motivations to learn more about the healing arts. Like so many of us in this country, I grew up pretty traditionally and, went to my traditional Western medicine doctors growing up. Fortunately, didn't have too many horrible traumas, but, I had my fair share of antibiotics every year and wondered why I kept getting sick the next year, probably, which may have been an early sign of some of that resistance that we hear about with antibiotics. But really, it was as I was an adult that books fell off the bookshelf on my head, and you try to put them back and they fall back, and you think, well, maybe I better look at this one.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way my higher guidance got my attention about some of the alternative approaches to health, particularly in regards to inner work. So for the past 12 years, I've learned and gotten to the point where I also teach and pass along some of the information about some of the forms of energy therapy that are very beneficial to our health. And I learned so much and really deepened my background in the alternative and complementary modalities of health over the last 2 years as I've worked with the Aspen Center for Integrative Health, which presents many conferences on the latest cutting-edge therapies, usually presented by doctors who've been practicing in both Western and alternative approaches for many years. So they're the leaders in this, people that you see on TV like Dean Ornish, and people that you don't always see, but who are very, very skilled and writing some incredible documentation of the tests and results that they've gotten in their own practices.
And did I make this up, or are you a naturopath?
No, I'm not a naturopath per se. I know quite a few, but I am an energy practitioner, which simply means that I've taken coursework and reached a level of proficiency in using various things. And your listeners may have heard of things such as Reiki, integrated energy therapy, and there are many other kinds of energetics, which I would recommend to your audiences. I don't necessarily practice, such as acupuncture, which of course goes back hundreds of years and is a very successful and proven modality for health.
Well, why don't we go over some of those energy practices that you do and how you define energy medicine, what kind of therapies you do,
okay.
Specifically what kind of things you would do with people, and give us some ideas of what kind of things you would do for what particular kinds of ailments. Because what I'd like to do is provide people something to take home with them if they've got an ailment that they could use.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I might also mention a few later in our talk some of the things I've learned from these various conferences on some of the other types of integrative work. But at the basis, we are energetic beings. We often don't think of that because we really, in the physical, really think the nuts and bolts, you know, we get a pain, we have muscles, we have bones, we have skin, we think of these things. But our whole body and being is also tremendously energetic. We of course have the neural system and understand that from that physical realm. But just as it's perhaps a mystery, but we now take for granted that we can plug something into the wall, which seems crazy just on the face of it, but this thing called electricity comes through and then powers our life. Very, very much in the same equation, our bodies are surrounded by an energy field and powered by an energy field. Without getting too out there, many people, you know, we connect our spiritual source is, in fact, wholly connected to that energy. And as a human being, just as we all may have differences of skin color or blood type, we still are all built exactly the same way. We have skin over bones, structure, you know, we all look a little different in our
face. I'd always like to say we all came from the womb of a woman.
That's right. And by the same token, we all have the same kind of energetic wiring. And we can get what we call blocks in the system energetically. And, you know, we're just always trying to self-heal. So our body will say, well, we can't get through that direction. Let's go around it and do something else. So often we can let a problem in our system build up, not even being aware of it until it reaches a point of suddenly we have this excruciating pain and we go, huh, wonder how that happened. And it's something that's probably built up over time. But our body keeps trying to adjust for it and correct it, and if it really can't do that by itself, then some other form of help needs to come in.
I would imagine that it would be somewhat like a fuse box. You get too much of an impulse of electricity and something, you know, in the fuse box that blows it in the body, I guess it would just build up an abundance of energy in a particular spot that something couldn't get around.
Right, right. And another thing which might help some of the listeners understand, if you sometimes you have like an itch on your arm, but then when you're scratching it, you can feel it down in the leg.
Right, yeah, I've had that before. What is that?
That's just part of that whole circuitry. So we're not just specific, we're whole beings. And you hear people talk about holistic medicine or the holistic person. And that's another hallmark of the integrative way to health is to consider the body as a whole, not just as a singular part. We're blessed that we have such scientific discoveries, and because things are so detailed, many people specialize just in the heart or just in the ear, nose, and throat or just in the intestinal tract. But we're really very interconnected, and some of the more enlightened thinking in health now is, okay, well, maybe that problem in my gut is related to my female problem or to my heart. And there's an opening of consideration.
So I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. In the same way, that happens to us energetically. So you may have something working in your brain, but it's also obviously affecting your foot. So,
well, you know, HeartMath Research Institute does research on just what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that information goes in through your heart chakra. And they actually have equipment that can test it and give you the frequencies and show you how it works. And then 8 milliseconds later, it goes to your brain, and then the brain distributes it to the part of the body where those emotions store. So there's actually scientific evidence out there on that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, within this whole thing of energy medicine, there are so many directions you can go, but other than that basic overview, really everything is frequency. And some people use the word vibration, although vibration simply means an alternating movement. Frequency actually tells you at what rate that vibration occurs. And so we have different frequencies going on in our bodies and around us in the atmosphere. So the energetic therapies and why there's so many is, you know, our bodies, some bodies react better to one form of therapy than another. So I basically come from the hands-on school and started with this whole thing, my journey in Reiki. And of course I thought this is really out there. But I found my teacher is a registered nurse and a Franciscan nun. So I guess if I had a religious concern about this or a medical concern, here's someone who's from both of those fields
right.
and is practicing it right alongside with her regular caretaking. So I felt, okay, this is grounded. Here's someone who, obviously, when she worked on me, I felt immediately the sensations, which I had not felt from other either therapies or just in daily life. It really was an interesting tingling, heat. Everyone feels this differently or may not feel it at all. And sometimes when you're working with someone else's energy field, they may feel you when you're a foot away from them and they'll turn their head. Others, you can have the most incredible healing going on. I can tell because my body heats up or my hands change temperature. And then, you know, they're out cold. They just fall asleep as soon as my hand touches their head, and then they get up and go, well, I rested really well. What happened? So people have different levels of awareness. Doesn't make it work or not work. It's just the way they're wired. But in addition to the hands-on kinds of therapies, you also have people who have been able to capture the same kind of experience in through energetic machinery, things that people may have heard of like the QXCR or the Vibe Machine or OmniMed, and I'm not an expert on those, but I know that those are some that the Rife technology. There's a lot of technology out there which is from a scientific mathematical point trying to come in to perceive and address the same system. I do it from the hands-on, much more intuitive, and you don't have to feel like you're a psychic to do this. In fact, there are some traditions that we go through, and we call attunement, which are just basically, you think of attunement, you think of turning in your radio. Well, I know that it's around 90 point something, and you kind of tweak the dial, and then you get a strong signal.
So how would someone do that? Put in their mind, how would they, for someone that's not an energy teacher or a healer, just an average person out there trying to learn about this, how would you tell them to do that?
Well, certainly if you were to take a class, there is an attunement process that goes along with it, which just really clears all the static and makes that a strong connection. And then you've got that attunement going for you for life. But many people are just naturally attuned. My mother has not taken any classes, but once she understood from some of my description of what I do, and then I've worked on her, she says, you know, my hands heat up sometimes. I said, well, use that. We're all wired to both be able to facilitate treatment with other people and certainly to receive energetic treatment.
So what would they do? Put their hands on the loved one or whatever it is and focus with intent what it is they're trying to do?
Well, there are different schools of thought on this. Certainly, if you've had some coursework and you've been attuned by another person who's worked in the field, it's going to be much faster. And it's going to be stronger working through their field to facilitate the work. But if you feel you're naturally guided to this and you have that natural feel, you can tell your hands heat up. When those hands are heating up and you're in someone else's presence, chances are that energy is ready to come through you to be helpful to the other person. There's a lot I could go into here. Many schools of thought would say you really need the permission of the other person to work with them. Certainly, you need permission to touch them if you're going to do a hands-on kind of therapy. Some of this work can be done at a distance, and that's where the power of intention comes in. And it's interesting in many of the courses that I've taken, and to a certain extent the way I teach it, although everything I learn I add into a course, so you get more than the basics. But we find that the power of intention and the power of our thoughts are so strong. And many people are doing research in this area, and they're not necessarily working in a health therapeutic. They're just working on how are we going to change the flow of events in the world, even.
Right.
Some feel they have that ability, and I think we all have that ability, certainly within our individual realm, and to the extent we apply the techniques to a greater realm. But the key really is intention, the thought form, and how you focus them through your heart. Emotion is one way of describing it, but your heart energy. So when you combine those, you have all the strength of the universe. You just may not realize it. And when you're working one-to-one, or in person, or across several states or around the world, you're still connecting to that other person energetically through your focus. And can then affect. And, of course, with the hands-on therapies, we have different positions. And I always teach, here's the structure, and here's the sequence of hand positions that's most effective. However, if you don't have an hour to spend with someone, and they have a specific problem, go to that problem first. There's no, 10-point test that you have to do this, that, or the other. The more you work with this, the more you can understand the guidance, you can pick up the signals. Some people are blessed with a visual sight. They can see colors. I've worked with people, and others observe, or they're the person being worked on, and they'll say, that was such a beautiful violet color or blue color that came in. Of course, I don't see it because I feel the changes, I feel the energy movement, but I don't see it visually. People that see it may even imagine that they see beings of light that are assisting. You know, everyone's got a different experience, because the bottom line is the person being healed, it is also the healer. I'm there to facilitate, but I, Elizabeth, don't bring some special guru power that I'm the only one that can do this. What I've done is learned a technique, practiced it, expanded it, tuned into it to become more adept at facilitating. But ultimately, if the person, if I'm working on a table or they're in a chair or they're at a distance, it's up to their body and their system to want to be healed.
Right.
To be ready to be healed. For example, if someone came in and nobody wants to be sick, and certainly no one wants to have cancer or anything really horrendous happen in their life, but what if they sort of signed up for it? And some people have this philosophy that we come in with a contract of really challenges that we want to work on to improve ourselves and to learn lessons. And so some people would say, well, maybe they are developing a disease because they want to work on a certain issue. Now, I'm not God, so I don't really know if that's correct, but they, in fact, are finding some terrific lesson learning from that. Then they may need to go through the experience at least for a time while they adjust what they're learning emotionally and spiritually, and then proceed to their physical healing. Because healing really is not segregated to just the physical. As a being, we have the physical body, the emotional body, the mental body, and a spiritual body.
Right.
And we all interconnect, and some kind of disturbance on one of those levels will ultimately come in and affect the physical, usually as a last resort, because we haven't paid attention to something going on in one of those other areas of our life. But really, that mind-body, spirit connection is the basis of this whole movement in integrative health.
Tell me about some of the things you've done with children and diabetes and ADHD, and if you know anything about, I had some woman email me just this morning about epileptic seizures. Do you know anything about something she could do for that?
Well, I tell you, again, there are many avenues she could probably take. If in fact she's having truly epileptic seizures, the first thing is she does need to be connected with a traditional MD.
And what it sounded like to me when I read her email was that it was some sudden onset of something,
mm-hmm.
of some epileptic seizures, and her physician didn't know what to tell her to do. So
well,
she was kind of desperate.
Depending on the seriousness, because I even myself had a mild form when I was younger, and a lot of children do. And there is some pretty standard medication, and of course I wouldn't know the particular names or what's recommended at this point. But that's the whole key of the integrative approach, is that you're combining the best of what Western medicine has to offer with the best of the complementary and alternative. And the advantage of the complementary alternative is that sometimes we can mitigate and not have to take as much of a prescription medication if that's what's called for. Or certainly, epilepsy is an energetic-based disease. I mean, that's the neurons firing at the wrong time and in the wrong amount.
Mm-hmm.
So I would certainly try some form of energy therapy, whether it is a hands-on therapy or some of the other kind of tools and devices that are out there. But I would caution that because you are having or have just had a major episode, be careful with that because you don't want to trigger it if there's some other complicating factor. And many times, certain kind of supplements can be helpful. And here, an integrative practicing doctor would be the best. I know in terms of your prior question about children that may have ADD or ADHD or any other kinds of afflictions that relate to the brain and chemistry in the body, we're finding that some things that are just very basic and simple, like taking omega-3 supplements, can do a huge amount to helping to balance the body, because we're out of alignment or out of balance just chemically with certain things, either
mm-hmm.
because of the food and the diet that we eat right now, or the way that some of the foods are raised that may not have the same mineral content. And of course, omega-3s, your best source is from fish oils. You can, I will say on omega, not to go down a tangent, but you can also get good omega-3 out of flaxseed. However, I've been at a presentation where they showed the complex chemical structure, and some people cannot assimilate, their body will not take in the flaxseed source of omega-3, so they
mm-hmm.
really need to, as a safety, use the fish oil source. And there are many supplements available. You can, you know, our grandparents were taking cod liver oil before they knew it was popular, you know.
Yep, that's right.
And, you know, there's a lot of wisdom that we sort of skipped over when we became enthralled with the new meds and the new directions. And in fact, there's reason for that. Many, many people were dying of very simple diseases. And when antibiotics were first, invented or put together in a way that to benefit our body, that was the miracle cure. So in order to let that become widespread in availability, big money got behind it and said, you know, this is going to save so many people. We've got to explore this. And of course, then that turned, and many things go to extreme, and it became the pharmaceutical industry we have today, where every commercial on TV, I think, is for this or that drug. But let's
not just forget to tell you that it kills you.
Well, some do. And, you know, it's just don't throw the baby out with the bathwater in both cases, because men in this country, we grew up under the traditions of Western medicine. So we can't just throw that out the window one day. Our bodies are used to that. So you have to wean certain things off, keep what's good. You know, there are certain things that we do want to take and certain things that we may not need to. And we can combine other supplementation or other activities. One of the basic things that I think we all get away from is what we can do before we even pick up a supplement or think about going to getting ourselves in a bad situation and even go to a doctor. And that's, what do we put in our mouth every day? Our diet and then our lifestyle. Are we getting enough exercise? You know, 100 years ago, most people were probably working on the farm, or they worked heavy work in factories and such. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of just natural exercise. We didn't think about it as, oh, we've got to get our exercise. It was just a part of our daily routine to survive. And now we've switched over to where so many of us sit behind desks, and then we have to make the time to go to the gym or to take the walk, et cetera. So really, bringing in correct diet and nutrition and learning what those are, because there's certainly a lot of different directions you can go. But again, reading and deciding what's right for your body, because not all of us, one size does not fit all. So I, you know, read whatever I can. Right now I'm reading a very decent book called The Rosedale Diet. He talks about the chemical leptin, which you find in a lot of meat products, which for some people that are prone to be overweight or to seriously overweight and get into metabolic syndrome, they really have a problem with that chemical, and I would call it an allergen. But it doesn't make them break out on the skin in the way you would think of a normal allergen. So mm-hmm. they just keep eating, not knowing that that's a problem. So just becoming aware of certain modifications we can make in our diet could have a significant effect. Another thing that's come out and I think it's made mainstream news in the last few years, but we've been talking about it in integrative circles for a longer time, and that is paying attention to the glycemic index in foods. And by that, I mean the sugar levels, how fast the sugar levels come forward from food. Obviously, we've heard about don't eat anything white, meaning like white sugar, white flour.
Right.
White rice.
Well, I know they've came out with that product, the glycoprotein. They sell it, known as Ambertose. But that isn't that something what that's about?
Well,
that those glycoproteins are the basic source of life, and they can help restore your health and do things that other things can't do, like restoring your spectrum.
Right, and I think you probably know more about that than I do at this point, although I have had that referred to me as something to research, and I plan to do that. But, you know, there are many sources, and you can just go online and probably put glycemic index in the search engine and have many resources immediately at your disposal. And there are two or three pretty well-known books out there that and Gittleman is one of the authors. I can't remember exactly her title, but they'll have actually the charts to tell you these are high, glycemic, medium, and low. And you know, it's okay to splurge once in a while, but if we eat one of those items that's high glycemic every single day, we're not giving our body a chance to recover from the insulin load, and this is the kind of diet we get at a lot of our fast food restaurants. Bless them, we thought they were absolutely the answer to our lifestyle when they first became popular in the 50s, 60s, and forward. But now we're learning more information, and in fact, some of the fast food restaurants are certainly learning too, and they offer salads and other options. So again, it comes back to our choice. And a key here is taking responsibility, personal responsibility. You know, that's another paradigm shift because in previous generations, as we're marveled at the miracles of new medicine and Western medicine, we go and we submit ourselves to the doctor and say, here, draw blood, fix me, what do I do? And now we really are realizing that to have the best health, we need to be a partner in that. We need to read everything we can, be careful what we put in our mouths, not think that we can just go and maybe get a prescription med so we can still eat that ice cream and be diabetic at the same time.
Right.
So,
and I think that it would also mean, even if you're eating healthy food, are you thinking about what's put on that food before it comes to you, like
right.
Pasteurization in milk and chemicals on plants to keep bugs off.
Absolutely.
If they kill bugs, they're going to kill you too.
Absolutely. And it's just becoming more and more aware. And right now, of course, it's a little more expensive to buy organic food, although I think it's in any metropolitan area, of course, it's available. because we have some very fine food chains now. But you know, you don't have to think of it as being that much more expensive. It all comes back to
choice. Relative to what you're going to spend at the doctor.
You decide which you're, that's right. You spend it now or spend it later, and possibly later in much higher quantities.
Tell me some about some of the success you've had with the children in diabetes and ADHD.
Well, I haven't worked with that many children personally in the diabetes, but I will say that we've presented some conferences around this. And again, it's interesting when you and I, of course, I won't say you're as old as I am, but when I was in school, it was unheard of to have a vending machine. I mean, the idea of having a Coca-Cola during the day, my God, that would just be heresy. We weren't even allowed off campus to go across the street if there was a restaurant or a fast food place there. You might be able to go after school, but you certainly weren't going over there for lunch. So there was a lot more controlled environment, or just the availability had not progressed to that point. Well, now, practically every school, including elementary schools, have vending machines. And they have long-term contracts with Coca-Cola or Pepsi or with, you know, some of the candy bar vending operations.
Mm-hmm.
And the schools, when those first went in, and again, we didn't have this information back then. It was like, oh, yes, a new source of revenue. And the companies would give them some great deals if they'd do 5 or 10 year contracts. So now that we know more about the sugar connection to diabetes, I mean, that's the most obvious, but there's certainly layers upon that. But just the basic sugar connection, if you're going to be getting soft drinks or candy bars during the day, now the schools are saying, well, we've got to take these products out, but they're under these contracts. So how do they negotiate out of the contracts? In L.A., where we did one of our conferences, the schools there have made concerted efforts with the current vendors to try to put new products in. And people like Stonyfield Farms, the yogurt people, they've come in to put in healthy vending products so that you can actually go and get something that now is going to be cool because you can get it out of any machine, but it's also going to be healthy.
Let's talk about that just for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, specifically yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, Breyers and Danone and all those people, you go to the store thinking you're getting a healthy product, when really it's been pasteurized, it's got radiation in it, and the enzymes that are in there are dead now. So you're really not getting what you think getting.
Mm.
You know, you have to buy an organic product that's not been pasteurized and that, you know, has the yogurt cultures in there that are living, because a lot of them say with living cultures, pasteurized.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's like an oxymoron.
Yeah.
They start out living, they get pasteurized, and they're dead. They just don't put that on there.
Right, right. Well, it's, you know, gradations. Here's a large company that I don't own stock in. I'm just telling you about it because I think they have a pretty good reputation in the organic line of food. And I know that they are taking steps to make a difference. So if we get the kids off of a candy bar and onto a little thing of yogurt, I mean, that's, to me, a big first step.
Yeah, you're right.
And a lot of the schools, they are making efforts now to offer fresh vegetables and fruits, which many times were not available. Senator Harkin out of Iowa, a few years back, took it upon himself to do a fresh fruit and vegetable campaign to put this in the schools. And I think it's now permanent in 5 states, and they're making some efforts to other states. And of course,
I didn't know that. That's great.
It's wonderful. And, of course, he was able to get the federal government to take a leadership role. Some things they do are good.
Right.
you know, it's probably a small fraction of the budget, but at least, you know, there are some good programs out there trying to make a difference. And it does start in your own backyard. You know, if one parent decides, I'm going to make a change in my school, then that's how it gets going.
Tell me what you know about supplement drug interactions.
Well,
Let
me tell you just a couple of other supplement ideas that have come across to me. And again, I would just urge people, if it sounds right to them, do some discerning, do some research for yourself. And also consult other resources. In this morning's paper, I live in the Denver Boulder area, and we have a great integrative pharmacy called Pharmica, which started here and now it's in about 10 states. And they have really, they offer the traditional pharmacy for people, but then you come into their store and they have really quality products in all the integrative alternative realms, whether it's herbs, supplements, lifestyle information, magazines, books, and they have informed people. They do little talks all the time, offering information, and naturopath will be there every Wednesday to answer questions, that kind of thing. So there are some resources out there that are very valid for people. But especially with the ADHD, some of the doctors I've heard talk, and these are integrative doctors, so they're
they'll
say get on omega-3s right away. And also, whether it's ADHD on for the young kids or in an, someone with dementia who's in their elder years, the omega-3s are so important, as well as B vitamins, particularly B12 and folic acid. And, you know, that's just such a simple thing. And those are not in and of themselves expensive supplements. Now, that's not going to prevent someone from getting Alzheimer's. It might delay when they would get it. It could prevent them, but it would not necessarily mitigate their, you know, if they already have the symptoms, there's actually some brain destruction that's gone on, but you can arrest the symptoms, I guess is what I'm trying to say, with things like this and some other helpful supplements. But particularly, I was astonished when I heard about the B12 and folic acid that some people have been using in research and how that has done so much. Because, you know, some of these disorders that we have may be chemically based, may be electrically based, but others are a result of inflammation. And there's been a lot of research and some major magazine articles about that. But again, the omega-3s are very good with inflammation. And basically, you can have a problem anywhere in your body if there's swelling going on because something's getting pushed aside. Mm-hmm. Something is not the way it should be.
I'd like to say, now that you've brought the topic up of supplements and not being very costly, they're not very costly right now. But, you know, on July the 1st, the Senate passed Kodak.
Right.
And if we don't do something about that, and people, I'm telling you, if you don't start writing your representatives, you will not be able to go to the local drugstore and buy these supplements. You'll have to go to your doctor, get a prescription, and I'm talking about the B12s that Elizabeth's talking about, and vitamin C. You have to go to the doctor, get a prescription, and then they're going to cost you somewhere between $150 and $250 each for a bottle of vitamins.
Yes, I don't know the specific dollar numbers, but I know from reports that have come out of Europe where some of these changes have already taken place that very simple supplements we absolutely take for granted. None of the fancy ones that I might mention that you've never heard of, but just the basics can go up and cost three times as much. And then for those who do have medical coverage, if they have prescription coverage, that's probably only going to pay for part of that difference. So you're still going to look at a lot of out-of-pocket. I realize, of course, right now most of these are fully out-of-pocket costs for us, but at least they're more manageable.
Well, it's still cheaper than your copay for a bottle.
Absolutely.
I went yesterday to get a prescription for my husband, and she said, oh, it's $250. And I said, oh, you forgot to do my insurance. And my copay was still $25.
Oh, my word.
You know, so a bottle of vitamins is, what, a fifth of that?
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
now?
Oh, yeah.
But people need to take responsibility and write their representatives.
Right, and that's just as important as taking responsibility for what food you're going to eat or whether you're going to take that 30-minute walk a day to really keep your heart in good shape. You know, there's some very basic, easy things we can do. But getting over to the supplements, there are some great supplements out there, and there are some to watch out for if you are on prescription drugs. And again, I am not a doctor, but I have sat and listened to many of the best doctors practicing in the country. And so these are just notes and things I've learned from them. For example, if you are a heart patient, and so you may be on different kinds of drugs, if you take something like digitalis or diuretics, you need to be careful the level of B vitamins and magnesium you're taking. You don't want to overdo that because, you know, again, you're reading this information, oh, I should have 1,000 milligrams of magnesium, that would be good for my heart. Well, if you didn't really talk to your doctor and you're already on something else, that may be too much for you, and it will either magnify the effect and interaction of your drug, and that won't be healthy. Or in some cases, it will prevent the effectiveness of a drug.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the nice thing, some of the supplements, if in fact they're going to enhance this, be a catalyst to increase the interaction or the effectiveness of a drug, that could mean you could reduce the amount of drug you're on. But again, a doctor's got to work with you on that, check your blood levels, because particularly with the heart, you know, this is life and death. You can change in an instant.
Right.
So you've really got to be careful, but not be scared, you know, and let them know. A lot of people don't tell their doctors that they're putting down 10 supplements at home, and you got to read the back of the label, even though it's fine print, and see what's in there. So B vitamin and magnesium, fabulous for your heart, but if you're on digitalis, be careful in the amount. If you're on an ACE inhibitor drug, be careful with the zinc, because you don't want to overdo it, yet zinc is often indicated as something to help so that you don't lose your sense of smell, which I didn't even realize was a potential side effect.
If you're on
beta and calcium blockers, you don't want to be taking too much magnesium. If you're on a Lasix drug, you don't want to take too much thiamine. If you're on statin drugs, you don't want to take too much CoQ10. And of course, a lot of people just think CoQ10 is these knees, and it's great.
It is if you're not taking those other medicines.
If you're not taking the others. Again, you can do both and find the best mix for your body and probably a healthier mix. But don't self-prescribe when you're dealing with these kind of combinations. You know, really get somebody to look into that. Now, one of the things which, you know, so many of our prescription drugs, we learn from nature anyway. We found out what was the natural remedy and then made something that mimics it and then, you know, put a patent on it and sell it for more money. And one of those things that people think, oh, it's great, we're going to take this, is red rice yeast. And that's a supplement which is almost identical in chemistry to many of the statin drugs. So people think, oh, red rice yeast, I heard about that, that's good for my heart. If you're already on a statin drug and you start taking this, it's like you're doubling up your medication. And doubling up doesn't always mean twice as good.
Right.
So, again, you maybe want to talk to your doctor about, I'd like to get on this, can we reduce or eliminate the statins if I'm on this? And, again, weigh your dollars and cents, too. Because just because something came out of the off-the-shelf supplement line instead of the prescription line, and something like that doesn't necessarily mean it's cheaper. You have to weigh what's the best for your body at this time.
Well, one of the things that I don't think people realize, if they take a pharmaceutical product,
mm-hmm.
it may be chemically structured like the original organic structure,
mm-hmm.
but there's some difference.
Oh,
and
yeah,
that
that's
difference
been able to
inhibits
patent.
The bonding of the molecules so that even though you may think you're taking the same thing, it's not bonding appropriately, so you're not getting as good results. If you could go and find a naturopath,
mm-hmm.
get off the pharmaceuticals and take the natural things, you're going to be better off.
Right, and you know, we don't have time to get into it, but that's probably a whole show into itself, and I can give you some references of people. But the bioidentical hormones, so many of us are going through menopause or just about to, and we're thinking, uh-oh, I haven't thought about the hormones. I've been reading about what older women are doing or not doing. I've been reading about, you know, the Women's Health Project and how certain hormones are bad for you. But don't label all hormones in one lump. Again, there's so much diversity. And
that's right.
They have these things now called bioidenticals. Now, that doesn't mean we should all run take those either, but they may be a very much more healthy alternative to some of the synthetic hormones that have been out there. And it's exactly what you described. It's a matter of, if you look at the chemical configurations, and some are quite complex, are they all linking in and bonding? Or are they leaving extra unlinked portals where you know, they can have some.
That's right. The molecules simply won't bond together and absorb in your system the same way as a natural one will.
So either it doesn't give you the maximum effect, or
the higher vibration. Sound is Blur with Wade Gordon can be heard Monday through Friday from 4 p.m. to 6.
Encourage people to take charge of their own health, starting with what you're putting in your mouth, starting with the basic lifestyle. You don't have to get a membership to the gym. If you walk 30 minutes a day, your heart is going to be so happy. You are going to be able to keep your blood pressure down with some very, you know, straightforward things. Now, if you have really high blood pressure, you might also need some kind of prescriptive drug, but you might need less of it if you're watching your diet and doing your walking. So a lot of things fall into the area of prevention. And I mentioned him earlier. I'm going to mention him again. Dr. Dean Ornish has been a leader in the last 10 years working with the government, trying to get Medicare to cover some prevention. And, you know, whatever Medicare covers, eventually the insurance companies
will. Right, we need
too.
To be calling and supporting him.
Absolutely support him. He's great. He also has his own nonprofit out on the West Coast, the Preventive Medicine Institute. You can get a lot of stuff off his website. And, you know, he's out there. He doesn't have a straight agenda. He goes with the research, and he's done so much research on the heart. He's a cardiologist. And, you know, diet and lifestyle, he says he has had people in studies where he has had tremendous downturns. You know, in the olden days, if we could stop something from escalating, that was a victory. Now he's actually reversing heart disease with some of these protocols.
Yeah, I did an interview with a doctor the other day.
One moment. I hate to cut in, but in 1 minute... We start at 1 p.m. now on Saturday and Sundays, Eva.
Okay.
To run our music programs. And, we're gonna be starting it in about a minute.
Okay. Well, Elizabeth, Don will cut this out, this little interruption.
Yeah, not a problem. I understand.
So I'm gonna say to you, if you could say one last thing, we have about a minute, what would that be?
Yep.
I'm
gonna
say that, and so you just go into that last thing. Okay?
Yep, and we'll edit it.
Okay, very good.
Sorry, I wanted to ask you about that inflammation thing you were talking about. Anyway, we got about 1 minute, Elizabeth. If you have one thing that you can say more than anything else that you want people to know, what would that be?
That would be take charge of your own health. Learn, read everything you can. Get with a good integrative medicine doctor, if at all possible. Someone who's very well versed in Western medicine, but also has studied a lot of the integrative alternative complementary approaches. And there are quite a few. Some are functional medicine doctors. That's another term sometimes here. Some naturopaths may not be completely medically trained in the Western, but they have just as much training as any MD. So that's also another avenue.
Well, I want to thank you, Elizabeth, and you have more stuff that I want to pick your brain about, so I hope you'll come back one day soon.
It would be a pleasure, and thank you so much for having me today, and good health and good luck to all of your listeners.
Agape, my friend.
Agape.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program. And we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.